Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Good morning, Vineyard. How y'all doing? My name is Matt Massey. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor today. And man, isn't it beautiful outside? Feels good, doesn't it? Like, I keep waiting. You know, Cincinnati winters, you get gut punched. You have two good days and have two cold days. So we're holding on to it. So, hey, I'm really excited about today. Before I jump into the talk today, I want to reinforce what Chris just said. The first thing is children's ministry. Right now, I don't know if you know this or not, we have close to 300 kids every Sunday back there. 300 kids, right? It's just more, as more families come back due to COVID opening up, 300 kids, and we need your help. But we don't need just people with fog glass. We need people who have a heart to disciple the next generation and joining with families to help kids grow in a relationship with Jesus. So please think about that and serve once a month, twice a month. It would be really important. So secondly, our worship night, next Saturday night, worship is so important. As we do this Saturday night reimagined, and we're creating space for us to engage, connect with Jesus, connect with each other more, we're going to worship. And I know sometimes my male friends, female friends, you guys are great. Male friends, sometimes say, oh, worship, I don't know if I like to sing that much. Worship is a really manly thing to do. It's a really womanly thing to do. It's a powerful thing to do. Let me tell you what Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors and communicators, says. He says, the secret to freedom from enslaving patterns of sin is worship. When I give my focus and attention, my worth to Jesus, that's when I get set free of those patterns of sin. We need worship. We need great worship. We need weeping worship. We need glorious worship. We need to sense God's greatness and to be moved by it, to be moved by him, moved by who God is and what he has done for us. So that's why we're going to spend the first hour next week just leaning in to connect with Jesus and then connect with each other out there. So please come. It's going to be a great night. All right. I told you guys about 2 months ago, we started this season called Jesus. We felt convicted that we need to focus on Jesus. Jesus left, Jesus right, Jesus long, Jesus short. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And Jesus is the one that changes things. He's the one that changes us. And as we were, as a team, talking about the different talks we do, your worship pastor, Tyler Jarvis, said, man, the story I love is this story. And the story he's going to talk about today. And he and I were going to do a team teach. And I was going to do half, and he was going to do half. And I was listening to him prepare, and we were talking about his part. And I thought, man, this is so good. This is in your bones. I want you to share what's going on in you about the story we're going to look at today. Because as I said at the end of Best Talk last week, the enemy wants us sitting in shame. But Jesus wants us standing in grace. And the story we're going to look at today helps us get out of the shame and stand in grace. Would you give a warm Vineyard welcome to your worship pastor, Tyler Jarvis?
Thank you, guys. So good to be together. I'm really excited to get to tell the next Jesus story in our series, or in our season, excuse me. So last week, Beth talked about this idea. She told us a story of when Jesus encountered this woman who was at her worst. And she told us this idea that Jesus doesn't condemn us when we're at our worst. And in fact, all we have to do is call him and that he's waiting. And so I want to talk today about when we call Jesus, what is it that's waiting? What is it that's on the other side of that that we get to encounter? And in John chapter 10, Jesus says that he came to bring abundant life. Verse 10 says that he came so that we may have life and life abundantly. And so if all we have to do is call on Jesus and that he's waiting and that his gift to us is abundant life, my question for us today is, how many of us actually live that abundant life 100% of the time? How many of us actually live a life full of joy, hope, and peace 100% of the time? How many of us at all times are recognizing that God is present and at work around us? How often do we wake up every day and recognize that Jesus' way is the best way? Because it's really easy to slip into the pitfall of, instead of living a life of hope, joy, and peace, we might live a life of stress, fear, and anxiety. It's really easy to fall into the pitfall of, instead of living a life where we recognize God is always present and at work around us, we just say, well, I need you right now, Lord. So if you could make this happen, I think I'll be okay. If we're not careful, we can fall into the life that we live where Jesus is just a really good insurance policy. That's what happens when we don't live that abundant life. And what's so frustrating to me is I've grown up in the church, right? I've been doing church a long time. I grew up right across the pond over at the Student Union. I actually brought a couple photos to show of me in my high school days. The problem with that photo is, and all of these photos for that matter, is I actually look the same when I shave. Like, I haven't changed at all. I still have that same face. So I've grown up in the church. I've been in this church specifically for a long time, and I still miss living the abundant life that Jesus offers. I've heard every sermon. I've had all the devotionals. I've had small group leaders that have spoken that into me for years and years, and I still sometimes miss it. And the hardest part about that is I agree with it fully. I know that the life I'm supposed to live is with hope, joy, and peace. I know that the life I'm supposed to live is recognizing that God is always present in my life. I know the life that I'm supposed to live is the one where Jesus' way is the best way, but I still sometimes miss it. And I've been told my whole life. Can anybody else relate? It hurts. Oh, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And so the story we're going to look at today is in John chapter 5. And I love this story. I love this story because it takes place with a man who was much more frustrated than I am of all the things that I've spoken about. In John chapter 5, we see the story of a man who the Bible calls him lame. And so what that would have meant was he didn't have the ability to use his legs. And so in the story, it takes place at this pool. And legend had it at the pool during this day that if you had some type of sickness or illness or an inability to use part of your body, if you could be the first one in the water when it would stir, you could be healed. And so every day this water would stir. And if you could be the first one into the pool, you'd be healed. So if you couldn't see, you were blind. And every day, if you were able to be the first one in the water when it stirred, by the legend, you would be able to then see. Leprosy is something we hear all about in the Bible. There were people, it says that there were people laying there with leprosy by the pool. And if by the legend of the pool, if you could be the first one in the pool when the water stirred, you'd be healed of leprosy. And so our story takes place with this man who's been laying there for 38 years. 38 years he's been laying by this pool trying to be the first one into the water, trying to get into the water to be healed. Let's take a look at this in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked." I love this story because Jesus asks him such a simple question. Do you want to be healed? And I got to think that that guy was just like, are you kidding me? Is that a real question? Because not only does the Bible say that Jesus knew how long he'd been there, But I imagine this man, he knew how long he'd been there. 38 years. And a man out of nowhere just walks up and says, "Do you want to be healed?" That seems like a silly question. There's got to be more to it than that. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be healed?" I really believe that Jesus asked the man, "Do you know what you really need?" He's asking him, "Do you know what you're truly missing out on?" He asks him, "Do you know what you lack right at this second? Do you want to be healed? Do you know what you really need?" And so I love the way that The Chosen portrays this story. So we're going to check this out. Let's watch the story of the man at the pool told by The Chosen.
Shalom. Me? Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so,
look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
Thank you.
So good. It's hard to have dry eyes after that, right? Gosh, I love the way that The Chosen depicts that, because we get a snapshot in the scriptures, but I wonder if that's what that moment would have felt like. I mean, Jesus asked the man three different times, do you want to be healed? And he just kept going back to the water. Do you want to be healed? Sir, I can't get into the water. No, that's what I'm asking. Do you want to be healed? But someone else gets in front of me. Do you want to be healed? Do you know what you really need? That's what Jesus is asking this man. When I, about 5 years ago, when I was about 23 years old, I was moving to Atlanta, Georgia, and I had just taken my first full-time ministry job. And so I was moving in August. And so about 2 months before that, I went down to Atlanta and I did some apartment shopping. And so it was the first time I'd really moved out, right? I had gone to college, but even for me, when I was in college, I was still staying at my parents' house for breaks and all that type of stuff. And so moving to Atlanta was like the first time I was moving out. And so I got my first apartment lease. And so, like I said, about 2 months before moving, I went down to Atlanta and I did apartment shopping and I found a place that seemed like a good location. It fit my budget. And when I looked at like the show unit, I was like, this is pretty nice. Like I could live here. And so signed the lease, get approved, all that stuff. And 2 months later, I moved down, I get the keys, and I open the door and it looks nothing like the unit that I had seen prior. I mean, it was almost like they ran out of rooms at the apartment, right? And they just said, let's just see if he is cool with this. And so I went to the leasing office and they're like, I'm sorry, you've already signed the lease. And so I was like, all right, I can tough this out for, you know, a year. It's my first apartment, I'll be okay. And so about 2 months into living in Atlanta, I was going out of town for a weekend. And I knew I was gonna be home late on Sunday night. And so I leave on Friday and I come back on Sunday and it is late. It's like 1 a.m. And I mean, I'm having conversations in the car like, do I bring my bag in tonight or do I just leave it until tomorrow morning? And so I'm finally making my way up to my apartment. I'm dead tired. I'm dragging my feet up the stairs and I pull out my keys and I open the door, and right on the inside of my apartment was a light switch. And there was a little lamp right next to it. And so I flipped the light switch to turn the light on, and there's like an explosion. But it's small, it's a small little lamp, so it's just like, psst. And then the lights completely go out. And I'm just like, what is happening? And so I pull out my phone, and I turn the flashlight on, and stuff starts coming into view, and I start seeing perspective. This is what I saw when I opened my door. Yeah, you see the shock, right? So by definition, my ceiling on Friday was now on Sunday my floor. And so not only that, it's 1 a.m, so the leasing office is very closed. I'd lived in Atlanta for 2 months, so the people that I did kind of know, I wasn't gonna call and be like, can I stay at your house? Like, and my closest family member lived about 2 hours north of there in Chattanooga. And so I felt like I had two options. I could either go sleep in my car or go sleep in my bedroom where the roof might collapse. And so I went and slept in my car that night and I set my alarm for very early to try to get to the leasing office as soon as it opened. And of course I didn't actually sleep in my car, right? All night I'm just rehearsing what I'm gonna say the next day. I'm like, you know how you like hype yourself up, like, all right, hey, you gotta go get this. You know what I'm saying? And so all night, that's just what I'm doing. I'm rehearsing in my head what it is I'm gonna get out of this conversation, out of this bad situation. And so the next day, I go to the leasing office and I walk in and I show the woman sitting at the desk the photo, and like she's like, oh wow. But it's not like that. Like you don't really get the full grandeur of it. So her, the maintenance guy, and myself walk up to the office and both their jaws drop when they open the door. I mean, the maintenance guy's shocked. The leasing office woman is shocked. I'm shocked again, and I'd already seen it one time. I mean, everybody's shocked. And so, you know, there's sheetrock all over my couches. There's drywall everywhere. Like, when I got home that night, I had to, like, part the Red Sea of insulation to be able to get through the living room. And so I said to the woman, I was like, how did this happen? And her and the maintenance guy are going back and forth. And so she says, all right, I need to talk to my supervisor. If you, you know, I will call you in a couple of hours and we'll get this sorted out. And so I go to work. At about 3 p.m, I get a call and she says, hey, Mr. Jarvis, I would love if you could come to the leasing office as soon as possible. And I was like, great. And of course, all day I'd still been rehearsing like how this conversation was gonna go, right? I'm still like, hey, I think I'm making lists of things I need. Like, hey, I think, you know, I should probably not have to pay a security deposit and I should maybe get like this whole year's rent free. And I also need like a new car and $500. And I mean, I'm just laying this list of stuff that I'm gonna get down. And so I walk in, and as soon as she looks up, she sees me, and she's like, Mr. Jarvis. And she said, you know, I spoke with my supervisor, and we are so sorry for what happened. And we want to fix, we're going to get your roof fixed as soon as possible. And I didn't even let her finish her sentence. I was just like, yeah, you know, I think we really need to make this right. I was using all the big words I knew from, like, business transact, right? We need to make this right, and I think I'm just listing things that I want. I'm listing all the things I need. And after I finally stopped talking, she kind of pauses for a minute, and I just see her, like, take a breath, and she just says, I'm really sorry, Mr. Jarvis, but I can't help with any of that right now, but is there anything that you need? I mean, I felt like I got punched in the face. I was so focused on what I was gonna try to get out of this situation that I couldn't even focus on the fact that I needed somewhere to sleep that night. In John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, let's read this again where it says, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am going, another steps down before me. This man saw the pool as his only way to get healed, just like I saw myself as, I gotta get all these things. Right? I was so focused on my way of how I was going to get whatever I thought I deserved, right? This man was so focused on the water that he couldn't get his mind out of this idea of what being healed could really look like. And I wonder if all of us do the same thing. I really believe that far too often we focus on a way rather than the way. We focus on a way that we have decided is right rather than the way, which is Jesus. And it's so hard because the Bible says that there was a multitude of people at the pool who were also so focused on the water as their way to get healed. But we do it too. How many of us say, if only I had my dream job, then I'd have what I need? How many of us say, if only I could get married, if only I could find a spouse, then I'd have what I need? That's what I'm missing. How many of us say, if I could just have a little bit more money, that's what I need? How many of us say, if I could just have the new house or that new car or maybe a vacation home, then I'd have what I need? How many of us say, if I could have more time, then I'd have what I need? You know what it is for me? I tell myself all the time, if only you had that hit song that you wrote, then you'd have what you need. If only you had that record deal, then you'd have what you need. If only you got to go play shows all over the country, then you'd have what you need. We tell ourselves that if only these things could come into our life, then we'd have what we need. But in reality, Jesus, who is the way, is saying all along, I'm what you need. Just like he said it to the man at that pool. I'm what you need. And so now the question, what does it look like to have abundant life? Abundant life is knowing that all we need is Jesus. Abundant life is keeping our eyes fixed on him. Abundant life is knowing that the way is always better than a way that we just chose because we think we know. But it all starts with putting our focus on the way rather than a way. Friends, I really believe we're supposed to have abundant life now, not just an abundant future. Let me say that again. We're supposed to have abundant life now. And that's what Jesus is offering us. And so how do we do that? How do we focus our eyes on the way? I'm sure you guys can guess what I'm going to say. It's worship. When we worship, what happens is we become what we gaze upon. So when we lift our eyes, when we lift our heads up, we become like who we are worshiping, or what we are worshiping for that matter. I love how Paul depicts worship in Romans 12. The first two verses of Romans 12 are maybe the best depiction of worship in the Bible. Here's what it says. Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and that is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to discern what God's perfect, pleasing will is for your life. So here's what happens. Watch. If we start at that point and work our way back, if the goal is to be able to discern God's will, or maybe I might even say it as to know what it is we really need, we have to renew and transform our mind. In other words, we have to put our focus on Jesus. And so how do we do that? By engaging in our true and proper worship. Will you stand with me? No, I don't think so. So as we enter into a time of worship, what is that thing for you that you really believe you need? What is that thing, like that man was so focused on the water? What is that for you today? Let's take a moment and be honest with ourselves. Let's take a moment and be honest with God. I really believe that God hears us when we pray. He hears us when we speak to him. And he wants to speak back. So if you feel even a little bit vulnerable today, whether in your heart or out loud, just tell God the thing that you know is keeping you from abundant life. Tell God the thing that you think you need today. God, I think I need that song that everybody listens to. I think if I have that, I'll have what I need. And it's just not true. What is that for you today? Just say that to the Lord right now. Just sit in a moment with God. Thank you.
'cause you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. And for from you are all things, and to you are all things. For you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. We sing from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We sing to you, Lord, you're worthy of it all. And you're worthy of it all. And for from you are all things. Into you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. We lift up a shout to you, Lord. You're worthy of it all. We sing you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. Into you are all. God, you deserve glory. We sing it out to you, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. We sing you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing, you're worthy.
'Cause you're worthy of it all.
Lift that up to him today.
You're worthy of it all. There's no one like you, Lord. For from you are all things. Into you are all things. You deserve the glory. Lord, you deserve the glory.
Sing all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing your goodness, it's running after me.
'Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yes, it is. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Is running after, it's running after. Oh, we're singing it out, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yes, it is. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Running after me.
Let's just sing that one more time. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yeah, come on, church.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I I will sing of the goodness of God. We
sit in your goodness, Lord. Just keep focusing on Jesus. We worship to put our focus on Jesus.
Your breath. sing, great are you, Lord.
Every second we sing,
we sing, great are you, Lord. Matchless, unlike anyone else, we sing, great.
Together, let's just sing that a few times. The great are you, Lord.
We sing together that great are you, Lord. Such a simple phrase, but great are you, this church, we declare that great are you, Lord.
Yeah. I don't know what it is today that you've come in and that you are holding on to, saying, if I have this, I'll have what I need. If I have this, I'll have abundant life. But the call of Jesus is to say, how do we focus on the way rather than a way? I want to invite the prayer teams to come down. Over the past couple of weeks, we've started having our prayer teams pray throughout the week for this gathering. And something that we believe here at the Vineyard is that God hears our prayers, but we also believe that God speaks to his people. And so the prayer team has been praying, asking the Lord for words, ideas, scriptures, verses, feelings. Those are going to come up. And I just want you to take a few moments and read through those words, those phrases. If as you're reading anything resonates, come get prayer. Come get prayer if anything resonates on that list. We have communion available if anybody wants to take communion as they're leaving. And we just want to remind you, I'm so excited for this worship night. It's going to be just what we did for about an hour, and we're going to have a blast doing it. So I want to invite you to all come, and it'll be a blast. So come get prayer, and we hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you at the worship night Saturday.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.